Hello, friends, and welcome to our continuation of telepathy and the etheric vehicle. Now, I had made a mistake. This is not so rare, unfortunately, and said we were heading into page or program number 18. We are not. We are going forward into program 17. And today is the 31st of October, and we ended program 16. On a combination of the, I think, the 30th and the 31st of October. We are on page 43. I've been having some vocal difficulties, but if I keep my voice relatively low here, you should be able to see clearly. Anyway, that is my hope. That is my hope. So, our last program, I think, was very interesting. This whole section is very interesting. It talks about the impressions received by Shambhala, by hierarchy that's forthcoming, and by humanity. What are the higher sources which impress even the great lives in Shambhala? And we have learned, as far as our planetary life is concerned, says the Tibetan, there are certain great sources of impression, and one or two of them might here be noted. Interestingly, the Tibetan, well, he would expect it, he knows of other and additional sources of impression for even very high beings, such as those found within the council chamber of Shambhala, but he says they would be meaningless, meaningless to us. The kind of impression received in Shambhala is group impression or reception, as differentiated from individual reception, as is the case in any telepathic rapport. So, who's involved in impressing these great lives that are so great we are very far from being able to climb to their point of tension? It's only the Christ and the three great lords who are connected, let's say, among our humanity, connected directly. So Shambhala is impressed by members of the Great White Lodge on Sirius, from one or other of the constellations with which are at a particular time astrologically en rapport with our planet. Now, we are heading into an an air age, we might say, from the point of view of constellations. Are there others? Let us see which are at any particular time astrologically en rapport with our planet. Well, perhaps. Perhaps there are. But in any case, these are very powerful sources of impression, and apparently the Sirius, the Great White Lodge on Sirius, is the most powerful source of impression that DK has given us. In the first case, Sirius, the entire Great Council must be present to be impressed, and there must be preparation. After due preparation, that they must be so very high indeed. And in the second case, that of the constellations, only a majority of the council, but that's quite enough. And then more impression from a triangle of circulating energy emanating from the two planets, which with our planet the Earth form a triangle in any particular cycle. Well, we seem to know that Earth, Venus, and Mercury receive are a triangle, and maybe from another point of view, Earth, Mars, and Mercury. Mars and Mercury, and then another source of impression from the planet Venus. Now, we wonder whether Venus should be considered twice, or whether Venus stands on its own. And DK tells us these are the major entering impressions recorded by what is glibly called the universal mind, the mind of God, our planetary logos. Let us say that that recording takes place upon the cosmic mental plane, but also also on the atmic plane, which is part of the expression of the mind of God, and probably on the cosmic astral plane there are some similar areas. But I think it's enough for us to know that these impressions are very high, and they affect beings that for us are very high. Now, the next that we're going to be taking up will be program 17, and we seem to be, yes, at the end of page 43. So, it's the impression the impression of the hierarchy by what? So, you know, whatever impresses Shambhala is higher than that which impresses the hierarchy, but okay. Now we learn about the heart center of the planet, with great masters and the Christ himself, and how they are being impressed. So, point A, Shambhala is impressing through the medium of groups within the Great Council. These step down the impression which they register from still higher sources, so that hierarchy as a whole may cooperate with the purposes intended. By those who are forming the needed plan. Just think that members of the council who are impressing hierarchy have to step down their impression. Otherwise, it cannot be received even by the great hierarchical beings. So it's really a constant, continuing, continuum, ascending ever higher. One wonders what a galactic logos impresses, and what it can be that impresses a galactic logos. And, well, finally we go all the way to the, well, we can call it the highest point of tension or top of the of any universe, and that is the greatest of the impressing agents within a universe. But, of course, with such points of tension or beings, we can have no knowledge. We can simply imagine that they do in fact exist. And then, of course, it can go further into a pre- and post-universal world, but those are wild speculations and have little to do with what we have to do, which is pretty much to purify our personality so it can be truly in alignment with the soul, producing that soul-mind-brain alignment, which is so important to execute the divine plan. So, Shambhala, under the Lord of the World, impresses hierarchy, and this must be obvious. The Christ prayed to his Father in heaven, and we have come to know that his Father in heaven was indeed Melchizedek, the great Lord, Sanat Kumara. Now, the Christ and the Buddha are also preparing to complete their seventh initiation as given by not Sanat Kumara, at least some references tell us that, but by the planetary logos himself, of which Sanat Kumara is an emanation. Okay, so hierarchy is impressed by Shambhala. It seems a little, well, I could say down to earth, but that would be a peculiar statement. All of this is colloquially stratospheric. It's occurring at very, very high points of tension, which you and I cannot reach. And it will be a while before we are able. Now, who else impresses hierarchy? Certain great lives, who at specific times, and according to cyclic rhythm, or in times of emergency, are swung into this type of activity. This is the activity of impressing. The spiritual hierarchy. Of our planet. Will he tell us who these lives are, or must we just leave it in a degree of vagueness, because it probably wouldn't mean much to us, but maybe. For instance, at one such time would be the full moon period, which is a time of reception by hierarchy, as well as by humanity. So that's, we have to bear that in mind during the full moon celebrations, that the entire hierarchy is being impressed by certain great lives. Well, in a way, we know the Buddha is one such, or could be considered one such. His residence for long has been within Shambhala. Here's another instance, an instance of the second type of activity. May I add, which we are now considering, an instance of the second type of impressing activity would be the Waisak Festival, or those acute crises when intervention is required from sources far higher than those with which the recipient is usually en rapport. And such a crisis, says the Tibetan, is fast approaching. Well, we are interestingly told that in the Triangle's work, the Buddhas of activity, who are, of course, members of the council, they can impress, I guess, even humanity in times of such crisis. So the thought that they might impress the hierarchy also would make sense. Now, the Waisak Festival is going to be, with Good Friday, a fade from use, and a different method will be used, where the Buddha, for his festival, has a representative in each country, and the Christ similarly. For the Festival of the Christ, the Festival of Goodwill, will have a representative in each country. I mean, these are aspects of the plan which the hierarchy is working out within itself, and they deal with the future. And that we may not fully understand them, Well, I think that's kind of a given. Now, this crisis we're talking about, those acute crises, when intervention is required from sources far higher than the those with which the recipient is usually en rapport. There's a great, may I add, of course, a great chain of hierarchy, and it's found in the old commentary, and it's the way we are held up and are holding up those below us, held up, sustained, uplifted by our superiors, and we do the same for those who have not yet accomplished as much as we have. Okay, so here is another impressing agent of hierarchy. Anything else? Okay. The DK speaks of the two types of impression. The first type of impression is rhythmic, recurrent, and therefore cumulative in its intended effect. And I suppose that is the impression by Shambhala. The second type of impression is the result of invocation and evocation, and is dependent upon both the recipient and the agent. So the impression, I guess we're still talking about how hierarchy is impressed. It looks like the first type of impression is of hierarchy, is the impression by Shambhala. The second type, in times of acute crisis, when intervention is required. All right, let's see here. What I'll do is just separate them by color. And so that we can better understand. But, may I say, you can see that this is really a planetary process. It goes far beyond any objective of attainment which you and I have. And because the Tibetan has discussed it, we, I think, have a better sense of proportion than otherwise we might have had. An adjusted sense of right proportion, which is equivalent to through humility. Without humility, one is functioning inappropriately in the world and assumes wrongly that he or she or the group can accomplish much more than it really can. Okay, now, who else is the impressing agent? Let's see in just a moment. Let's see here. Okay, now we can go on a little more about what types of lives impress the spiritual hierarchy. Obviously, very high lives. And the next group that impresses the spiritual hierarchy is called here by the Tibetan, that great group of divine contemplatives who are the who are trained to act as intermediate, as an intermediate receptive group between Shambhala and hierarchy. Divine contemplatives, they've been called the Nirmanakayas. So that's the next impressing group. And obviously, they have at least to be initiates of the sixth degree and, well, maybe beyond that in some cases as well. How do they operate? Well, D.K. says it this way. They receive impression from Shambhala and transmit it to the hierarchy, thus enabling the members of the hierarchy to receive it as a sharpened impression and to register it accurately, because the emanating impression has passed through an area within the divine mind where it is enhanced by the trained perception and determined receptivity of this group. Well, that sounds all like a very high statement. They receive, hierarchy will receive a clearer, sharper impression because of them, and the shambolic impression of hierarchy will be clearer and will be sharper. And this group has a trained perception and determined receptivity. They are called in the East the divine Nirmanakayas. So let me I want this to stand out. Those words, a sharpened impression and trained perception and the determined receptivity of this group. Again, if they impress hierarchy with that which Shambhala sends forth, helping to sharpen that sending. Again, they are way beyond what we can appreciate. We do have coming up the idea of how humanity may be impressed in this great chain of hierarchy. So D.K. calls them, he says, they are called in the East the Divine Mnemonikayas. I only mention their occult name so that you may learn to recognize them when you meet, not them, but reference to them. That is the purpose. I mean, what good does it do that we know they are called Nirmanakayas, except that they will be referenced, and then we will know what DK is actually talking about. As far as I know, in other occult books, they, as part of the chain of impression, have not been mentioned. I mean, books other than those belonging to Master DK. I'll make this maybe a little, perhaps, yeah, so it stands out. Now, you know, in the old days, I used to write everything out, and it took a long time. Now, in order to cover this material, I simply spontaneously say some things, and if you receive the audio transcript, you'll see it attempting to make a record of what it is that I say or read. Now, the record is often faulty, as I've mentioned, but you will be able, at least, to orient yourself. Now, there's further impression. Looks like DK gives four types of impression when considering Shambhala, and four when considering the lives which impress hierarchy. The fourth life is the Buddha at the time of the Waisak festival, at the time when the Waisak festival is celebrated. He then acts as a focal point, or as the distributor of impression. I think we're used to that idea by now, that the Buddha is, at the time of Waisak, impressing hierarchy. That is a much more familiar idea than the kinds of things that Master DK is going through right now, or, you know, in informing us of at this point. So then of the Buddha, DK says, he then has behind him, little as you may realize it, the entire impressing force of the Buddhas of activity, who are to Shambhala what the Nirmanakayas are to the hierarchy. So the idea that it's not just the Buddhas who, or rather the Buddha, or the one we know as the Buddha, who is doing the impression, but he is fortified by the Buddhas of activity, with whom apparently he has an important relationship. And these Buddhas of activity are discussed at various points in the books, and they do represent the three aspects of divinity. And let's make sure that we are, yep, so far looks like we are getting the, I had a terrifying moment there yesterday when I thought, oh my, now I've had the mute on for a half hour. But it turned out that it wasn't on, and my eye had caught that. There were just so many things to think of. Anyway, even though the Buddhas of activity are part of the Great Council, they stand in strength behind the one we know as the Buddha at the Waisak festival, and, well, the Buddha will have his role to play. In the future, it will no longer be the Waisak festival as celebrated in the past, and I suspect that his representatives in every country will receive his impression, and still behind him will be the force of the Buddhas of activity. Okay, you've got to admit, don't you, friends, that this is really interesting material, and I think I have not been careful enough in my reading to be aware that this kind of material has existed. At least it hasn't been in the forefront of my mind. Now, D.K. goes on to say, let me interpolate a remark which may prove helpful and illuminating. Well, we're always glad when such remarks come along, because remember, the Buddha said, look what I did. D.K. said, there is no language for me to convey these thoughts, anent telepathy. And besides, we masters, we are all learning on our own levels what it really is. What is this great science of impression and the supreme science of contact? It would be wrong to think that a master becomes static, and because the human mind is so finite, so form-bound, there has been in the various theologies and ideologies the idea that this is it forever, nothing can follow it, this is the final statement of truth. Well, that's a huge mistake, and has led to all kinds of retardation, if I may say. So DK goes on and says, we are dealing, as you will undoubtedly have noted, with the reception of impression by groups or by an aggregation of groups composed of living beings who have their own aspects of distribution or impression. We are dealing with very, very high subject, and who would imagine that we can talk about the still higher agents that are impressing hierarchy. But of course, we speak of Shambhala all the time. And I must say, we speak rather unwittingly about Shambhala. Yeah. When you don't really know something, it's easy to talk, as the Tibetan has said, glibly, superficially, and sometimes I wonder if we do anything but that with respect to the real secrets. So, thus far, impression by the hierarchy comes from Shambhala through the medium of groups within the Great Council, and that's interesting that maybe it's not the entirety of the Great Council that impresses hierarchy. That might be really too much. Well, look, the Buddhas of activity are a group within the council chamber of Shambhala, and they are involved in impressing our Buddha, the one we call Buddha, and he is involved further impressing hierarchy. And then the crisis form of impression at the period of the full moon. So hierarchy is especially impressed by certain great lives at the full moon. And let's think of the Lords of Liberation, who intervened when humanity looked like it was failing. And that was an acute crisis, I guess around the end of 1942 and the beginning of 1943. And another, this is interesting, another such crisis is fast improving or fast approaching. Well, anyway, and then he distinguishes between the first and the second, one being predictable and the other arising when crisis arrives or arises. I have an impression that that the planetary logos will not lightly let his entire creation slip into malfunction or uselessness. He will take, I think, the necessary steps, even though those steps may be very hard upon others, the lower lives, in order to preserve the purpose that he has with respect to the solar logos. And then the Nirmanakayas, we've discussed them so we can begin to recognize who they are. And then our Buddha. Our Buddha maybe is not the same as Gautama, his instrument, just the way Christ is not the same as Jesus, his instrument. And then the Buddhas of activity, they somehow come through as a special group within Shambhala that is able to impress hierarchy. So DK is giving a helpful and illuminating hint. We're dealing in this study of the science of impression, because it's not just telepathy that we're studying. We're dealing with the reception of impression by groups or by aggregations of groups composed of living beings who have their own agents of distribution and impression. As I said, all part of the great chain of hierarchy. Now, Master DK goes on and says the following: the entire evolutionary history of our planet is one of reception and of distribution, of a taking in and a giving out. Well, okay, that seems, what shall we say, reasonable enough, right? That's how the evolution proceeds, elevation proceeds, and a fulfillment of divine purpose through plan proceeds. Now, DK focuses on our problem. The key to humanity's trouble, focusing as it has in the economic troubles of the past 200 years, so let's say in the 1800s and in the 1700s, and in the theological impasse of the Orthodox churches. So we've got two rays, the third and the sixth, causing trouble. The key to humanity's trouble has been, according to the Tibetan, to take and not to give, to accept and not to share, to grasp and not to distribute. So it's in direct defiance of the Christ statement that it is better to give than to receive. And notice third and sixth ray, two rays which when combined can be quite problematic. And I'm just going to ask everybody to note which aspects of divinity or which rays may be involved. The third and the sixth rays. We are still in the midst of great economic difficulty, and we are still suffering from a cramped orthodox churchianity, if I can call it that. And so many people are wrapped up exactly in that problem. To them, their little dogmatism, and I guess we've all been there, is the whole world. That's it. And anybody who pushes beyond that is a threat. I'm thinking about how the Catholic Church persecuted Giordano Bruno. By the way, Annie Besant thought she had been Giordano Bruno. About that, I'm not sure. But he was a somewhat caustic character, and maybe other people who had done, who had acted just as progressively or defiantly, did not meet with the wrath of the church the way he did. So his death, I think it was in the year 1600, was the beginning of the Counter-Reformation, when the church struck back and did not tolerate the Reformation. And then came all the wars which attempted to settle that issue. Those were very, very trying times, and very brutal, brutal times. But anyway, he does tell us where the main source of trouble was to be found. And we keep those two aspects of divinity in mind when we're looking for the trouble of former times and the troubles that have followed us even into the 20th and 21st century. And then, of course, we just see the violation. We see there has been a violation of the Golden Rule. And maybe we don't wonder that such difficulty has arose when we read the simple sentence to take and not to give, to accept and not to share, to grasp and not to distribute. Just pause on that for a moment. Because it is the very opposite of spiritual generosity. And as D.K. goes on to say, this is the breaking of the law, which has placed humanity in the position of guilt. And further, the war is the dire penalty which humanity has had to pay for the great sin of separateness. Well, the evils that befall humanity are only very partly caused by the Black Lodge. There has to be an opening through sin to the unfortunate type of acceptance of impression from the Black Lodge. The great sin of separateness appears to be the major sin, and it's certainly also the major major heresy. The great heresy of separateness. And humanity, much of it, maybe, I don't know, 40%, is still in the throes of this law-breaking attitude, still guilty, still carrying through the great heresy of separateness. You can find this in certain countries, particularly now in the United States, it's very serious, but you can also find it in general as authoritarianism and the love of power seeks to overthrow an hierarchically intended democracy. So, a little bit more here. Impressions from the hierarchy have been received, distorted, misapplied, and misinterpreted, and the task of the new group of world servers is to offset this evil, to work contrary to it, so the evil is counterbalanced. D.K. goes on, these servers are to humanity what the Buddhas of activity are to Shambhala and the group of divine contemplatives are to hierarchy. I think that begins to be a very interesting chain of relationship. if we can grasp the analogy, we can begin to apply higher impulses. So don't you find it interesting regarding well, here we have the offsetting of the evil. That's the goal. But don't you find it interesting, this analogy? The Buddha's effect, the servers, world servers, of which maybe some of us are actually members, maybe. These servers are to humanity what the Buddhas of activity are to Shambhala. Well, you know, members of the council, members of Shambhala, but standing in a higher place, servers as members of humanity, but standing in a higher place, and the group of divine contemplatives, or Nirmanakayas, are to the hierarchy. Well, one just wants to sorry. Ponder that. One wants to ponder that a bit. Are the divine contemplatives part of hierarchy, or are they intermediaries? The Buddhas of activity are presently part of the Great Council, and the servers are the Ajna center to the throat center, which humanity represents. So they too are part of humanity. But the analogies are close enough to realize the responsibilities of these groups. But our problem is reception, distortion, misapplication, and misinterpretation that comes from illusion. So there's a little more here. We're not going to get into, in this relatively short program, the impressing agents which work with humanity, but of course what DK will say will be equally interesting and will touch home, so to speak. So DK is going to summarize here a little bit when he brings the next points home. So, number one, I guess he's enlarging even further. The Buddhas of activity are themselves impressed by the will of God as it energizes the entire planetary life. Now, we wonder, is the will of God the will of the of God, the Sola Logos? In the expression of which the Buddhas of activity in former times played a significant planetary role. They each had planets to supervise. Now they are helping Sanat Kumara. Okay. Okay, let's see if I am making any progress here. Yeah, that's the page. So, it's a high function of the Buddhas of activity who were planetary logoi in a previous major solar system. Okay? So that's one thing he wants to tell us, and of course, everything that he tells us can come together in our own understanding and summaries. So that's the first aspect, the will of the of God. Now, from a certain point of view, we might say that they can be impressed by the planetary logos himself, rather than Sanat Kumara only. Going on, the Nirmanakayas are impressed by the love of God as it demonstrates itself in the attractive force which impulses the plan inspired by the purpose. In other words, it is the hierarchy impelled to action by Shambhala, or the will to good, externalizing itself as goodwill. Well, I'm going to put the Nirmanakayas, since they are impressed by the love of God. I'm going to put them in our synthetic love color. Whoop. There I go. Not the best. Okay, they're impressed by the love of God as it demonstrates as the attractive force which impulses the plan inspired by purpose. Had we realized that the plan cannot occur without this attractive force, it is the hierarchy impelled to action by Shambhala, or the will to good, externalizing itself as goodwill. So DK puts this in still other terms. And now, the new group of world servers are impressed by the active intelligence of God. They translate this divine impression and step it down in two great stages, bringing it into concrete manifestation. So, we have, we have, do we not, the three aspects of divinity here demonstrated. I'll simply put that in the Mercurian color. And probably I should put this in a still different. There, that represents will. They are members of the council, these Buddhas of activity. They're impressed by the will of God, whether it's the will of the planetary logos or the will of the solar logos, as it energizes. Notice the word, how will is connected with energizing. Then we have the second aspect of divinity. Now, whether that is the love of the planetary logos or the love of the solar logos, in any case, they are impressed by love and an attractive force arises. And that attractive force impulses the plan. Things do come together, as they should, in the lower worlds, because of this attractive force of love. So hierarchy, this is what this whole section is about. Who impulses hierarchy? Impelled to action by Shambhala, or the will to good, externalizing itself as goodwill. And remember about goodwill, it is love in action. And finally, the new group of world servers. Now, some of the love of God also comes through to them very definitely, but the active intelligence of God, the planetary logos, comes through through hierarchy to them. They are intermediaries between hierarchy and humanity, and they bring down divine impression. They translate intelligence into divine impression and bring it down. Step it down in two great stages. Now, he's not going into those stages, but we can think of the Ajna Center, particularly, and we can think of the Heart Center, both of which are involved with the new group of world servers. And our next little uptaking deals with the impression upon humanity. And that will be what we take up in the next relatively short program. We are now on page something. Page 46. And I'll go back here to yeah, 43 to 46. Okay. So basically now, this will be the end of program 17. We've finally done that. And it's on the 31st of October. And it goes from 43 up to 46. And we'll be beginning, I hope I'm correct here. Let's see. Maybe this is the end of 16. And maybe we just did program 17. I always get confused there and require the team to kind of help straighten me out. Okay. Now, this will be the end of program 17. And this time it will be true that we are beginning program 18 on the XX of October or November. And we'll be working starting, let's say, on page 46, and not knowing exactly how far we go. Now, I hope I've got those numbers correct. Otherwise, it just takes far too long to straighten them out. And this is an important section. Who or what is impressing humanity? Always the impressing agent is, well, at least most usually, to be considered higher than the agent that is impressed. So from 46 to 52 will be our next undertaking as we consider impression upon humanity. Okay, friends, so Tuya and I wish you many blessings in all of the communications, and the team of BL and Joe and Michael, Mikhail, and Michael Stacy. We all are in your corner, and hoping that you absorb these things the best you possibly can. Now we have other things going on here tonight, so we'll continue with the great get-together in Glasgow, Scotland, the UN Climate Change Conference, something of great importance, a gathering of great importance. And our next undertaking, from 46 to 52, I can't guarantee that it's going to be one program only. Probably probably not just one program. And we are already moving into November. In a few hours, well, here in Finland, the clocks went back. In a few hours, we are moving into November. And then I think on the 2nd of November, the serious beginning, or the broad scale beginning of the climate change conference begins to take place. So we wish you accurate assimilation and application in all you do. Thank you for being here with us for program 17 and program 18 of Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle are coming up. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.